But it's good to be here this morning. I don't really have a text this morning, but I want to pray over our service like we usually do. And I always believe the Lord to bless our time. I feel like I'm excited about the word, but I'm hesitant about the word too. It's one of them, kind of one of them. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. It's one of them. It's kind of like that. But I am looking forward to it because I know God's word is true. It's always on time, and it does what He wants it to do. It don't return void. Amen. But it accomplishes. So I believe it to accomplish this morning. But I'm going to ask my brother, Brother Angler, again. I appreciate him always. He is a treasure in an earthen vessel this morning. I believe that. And I appreciate the contribution of even him praying. I told somebody, might even been him. I don't remember. I told somebody here a few weeks ago that I appreciated the anointing that he brings even in his prayers. And it's part of the body, what I was talking about. It's part of creating the body atmosphere that just makes it all better. And I'm thankful for that. So, Brother Angle, would you pray over our service, my good friend? Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both your Son and my Savior,
yes,
I bless you today, invite you to have your will, your way, to the utmost today.
Yes.
Let us be able to say when we leave here, it's been especially
good
to have been in the house of the Lord this morning. We'll be careful to praise you because we're constantly reminded that without you we can do nothing, but with you we'll tackle anything. In the name of Jesus, bless your holy name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm actually going to talk to him about doing a little part of a service for us here in the near future, if he would feel led of the Lord to be a part of that. Wouldn't that be good? I think that'd be good. That'd be good. So I look forward to that, and whatever part the Lord puts on his heart, I'm all good with it. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I don't really have a text this morning. I do. But I can't give it to you till I close because you can't handle it. You'll turn. I know how this goes. I've been doing this long enough. I know if I read my text this morning, you just shut me down. You just say, that's enough, preacher. I done heard enough. All the reading I need right there, you just shut me down. So I usually do this. I usually read a text and then bring a story in to illustrate and support the text out of the Bible. I don't use my own stories. I use the biblical stories because they're the ones that have the power. And I'll do sometimes insert personal testimonies or others, but I use the story from the Bible to support the text as far as the power and to illustrate it and to give people the understanding of what the text is trying to say. But this morning, I'm going to do it the opposite. I'm going to read the story here in a minute. We're going to talk about the story. And then when we close, I'm going to give you the text. And you're going to go like, ah. But before we do, I want to give you the title. So this is all messed up this morning. This is all messed up. I want to talk to you this morning about the scariest place on earth. The scariest place on earth. Now, I know there's a lot of thoughts on that, and this is not Halloween-oriented at all, although that might have played into my mind and played into some of the thoughts that come. I actually heard somebody say here not too long ago, just the other week or so, that they had been a part or went to see something or was in something, that it actually scared the hell out of them. And I'm like, no. You know, or it was scary as hell is what they said. And I said, no. You don't got a good revelation of hell. You just don't. You don't. There's nothing on this earth. There's nothing on this earth as scary as that. So I got to think, what's the scary? Think about it. Just put it, let your mind open up in your imagination a little bit. You know, as a kid, I had lots of phobias and lots of things that would spook me and startle me and various things. You know, storms. I was always scared of storms when I was a kid. Not just thunderstorms or not, but I'm talking about, of course, we always lived there on the creek, and I was always scared of the floods. Because we would get some, flooding down there sometimes. And I can remember as a young age, you know, bailing out of the little place that we live sometimes and watching the waters come up. Of course, we never had it to come in. But always, as a child, I was impressed by the strength of the storm and the force of it. And I seen bridges washed out, and I seen stuff washed off. And I seen, you know, every time I heard the word hurricane, I always associated that with, man, it's going to be trouble on Craig's Creek this week, you know. And it was just a phobia, if you will. It was somewhat of a scare. And I ain't never been so much one scared of the dark, but I know a lot of people are. A lot of people are scared of the dark. There are certain things maybe in the dark that I ought to be scared of. But just the dark itself, or I'm not so much worried about, you know, death. Death, especially now in where I'm at in my life, death. But I can see where people would be scared of death. Or even these scary movies and some of these places that put on these scaremires or whatever, they use graveyards all the time. You know, graveyards. Graveyards don't ought not scare me, ought not scare you. Amen. That ought not be a scary thing, but it does. It fosters a lot of fears with people. Graveyards and things that's in there. But there ain't nothing but dead people in the graveyard. You ought to be worried about downtown. So I'm going to tell you right where all the people are. The graveyard is a safe place. Amen. I'm just going to tell you. Amen. And then kind of escalate that. Think about, you know, even the demonic. You know, think about, I remember when my kids was younger, and I never endorsed this, never encouraged this. As a matter of fact, they would do it against my better judgment and will sometimes. Scary movies. They love scary movies. They were scary movie people. They just liked doing it. And they got that from their mama. For when we dated as a young couple, I used to have to sometimes appease her and watch some of that stupid stuff. And sometimes I would do this. Jacob Jones, you know what I'm talking about. I hear the story. Jacob Jones went with my girls one time to a scary movie. A bunch of them went. A bunch of the kids went. And they told me it got to the scary part, and he put his coat over his head. I'm with you, Jacob. I'm with you. I'm checking out. I'm going to be praying me some Jesus stuff. I'm going to be singing about how great thou art. And I'm just not into that whole scene. But the one thing that my girls would even tell me, they would tell me that they didn't mind any of that. Some of that crazy, but when it come to the demonic, they wouldn't go watch that. They wouldn't go see that because they tell me, Dad, that's real. And they didn't want no part of that. You know, so I understand that may have some facts or some strength in it. I mean, there's numerous other things. Of course, man probably would scare me worse than anything. I said evil men. Yeah, man, evil men, disease, persecution, on and on and on. There's so many things, but that's not really the point. But here's what I worry about or learned and what I've thought about. The scariest place on earth, it ain't none of them places. The scariest places on earth, and I'm still talking about earth. We're not even diving into eternity or the next life. We're talking about here on this earth. What's the scariest place on earth? And it's none of them places. You know how come I know that? Because I've got a hero of the scary moments. I do, and you do. If you're born again this morning, and you live for Christ, you've got a hero of the scary moments. I want to give you Romans 8, just, and you know this scripture, but I just had to share this with you. He says, nay, in all these things, everything I've mentioned, and then some more that's coming, man, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Jacob, just pull the coat off your head, brother. You're more than a conqueror. I can go ahead and open my eyes in the scary moments because more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38 says this, for I'm persuaded, and I am. I am totally persuaded this morning that there is nothing in death. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing in death. Nor life even. Nor life. Nothing that's alive on this earth. Come on, this is, if you want great comfort, get it now because some of the rest of the message is going to bother you. I'm just going to tell you, right here's where you want to cheer, right here's where you want to say amen, right here's where you want to say preach it. Nor life, or even angels, or principalities. Think about that. nor powers. I love this part of things that's present. Everything that we know of. I believe that's even imaginations of people. You know, no power, nor things present, nor even futuristic. There's where a lot of fears lie, in the unknown future with people. They think, to them, the scariest place in the earth is what's tomorrow. What's next week? What's when I get old? Or when I'm unable for this or unable for that? The future. He says, oh, no. That's not it. No. Verse 39, nor height. There's not a depth. There's no creature. There's nothing that shall be able to separate. You've got a hero. For scary moments, for scary times, there is a hero in your life. Man, I just wanted to shed that light this morning before we move on, because here's where I believe the scariest place on earth is, the very scariest place, the place that's not listed even in this list. The scariest place on earth is when you find yourself personally. You remember how I've always preached about find yourself in the Bible? I've preached that all my life. That was one of the principles that God gave me at a young age when I started preaching. And I used that off of when Jesus come out of the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. And before he started his ministry, they asked for the books, and he gave him the books, and he opened up the book where he was written about. He found himself right in the book, and he began to recite right out of his portion. And Jesus said, it's a powerful thing to find yourself in the Bible. Powerful. And it was in that unction and in that anointing, remember, that he went forth and began to proclaim this gospel and do healings and powerful things. Well, let me tell you something. The scariest place on earth is something like that, but it's when you find yourself on the scary parts of the passage. You find yourself in the scary places of Scripture and on the wrong side of God. The scary passage. You know, this book's full of scary. They not preached on much. They not talked about much. It don't set well. It don't feel well. There's portions of the book of the Bible that never get read, never get talked about, because it just of its tone, because of its overture. You know, various portions: wrath, judgment, eternity, damnation. You hardly ever hear of a doctrine of damnation at all. Now, I'm not here to preach on that, but I found the scariest place on earth, and it's when we're on the wrong side of God in some of these passages. I said, when we find ourselves in Scripture, like you do in the positive way, but you find yourself in the negative way in Scripture, on the wrong side of God, that is absolutely, without a doubt, the scariest place on earth. And this morning, I want to read you a little story, or bring up a little story. I don't know how much of it I'll read. I'll talk about it a little bit, because it's a little bit lengthy, and it's a little chunk of story in Jesus' life. He'd just been teaching, and it's in a couple of the Gospels, but I'm going to use it out of Mark mostly. But in Mark 4, towards the end of that chapter, he had been teaching. It's where we get one of our great, Mark chapter 4, when we get one of our greatest teachings that Jesus gives us. He gives us the teaching on the soils, remember? The various soils. And then, of course, in Matthew, he was in the same teaching. It was about the wheat and the tares and the soils and many other parables, the Bible says, that day. He was teaching that day. He'd been teaching all that day about the powerful kingdom moments and principles and teachings and stuff to help guide not only his disciples and those people of those days, but our day. I still lean heavy on what thus saith Jesus. Heavy, heavy. I lean heavy, heavy on that. Amen. And he had taught that day and had been teaching. And I feel like, as their manner was, it don't really say in Scripture, but I feel like he had taught all day. That's what he did a lot. He'd teach all day. You know, not an hour, but all day. So much so, remember, they would even sometimes be concerned about the hunger of the crowd and worried about them going away after 3 days. Amen. I got a point for 3 days. I got point one for day one, point two for day two. Well then. But I feel like as his manner was, that's what it went on. And I feel like towards dusk, or as the evening, you can tell when it starts. I could always tell as a kid when it was about time to head home from the woods or wherever, because it started getting dusk and it started getting dark and the sun started sinking. And this time of year, it happens a whole lot faster. And I start heading for home. Amen. And I feel like, and as their manner was, for whatever reason, Jesus, a lot of times at the end of a day, and maybe it was just to get a little peace, maybe it was just to get a little rest, because the crowds always thronged him and was pressed upon him, always wanted him. And I see why. But they would do this, a custom a lot, they would do that. They would go to the other side. In Scripture, many times they would jump in a little boat and go across the sea and see a Galilee or whatever they was in, and little bodies of water, big bodies of water, as far as I'm concerned. Grace Creek is a little body of water, and what they talking about, they was big body of water. But they would go across to the other side, and the reason they would do that, I feel like a lot of that was just for the rest, for the comfort, to get away. And in this story, that's where the same day when the evening was come, see, it was evening, he saith unto them, let's pass to the other side. And the Bible says that when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also, of course, some little ships joining in. And verse 37, and there arose, here it is, a great storm. A great storm. Now this, remember, we done learned, it's not the storm. This is not the scariest place. Although I feel like the disciples begin to feel that way. As the storm arose, Jesus was all the time getting his disciples in storms. Do I got any amens? Huh? You following Jesus? Well, he's getting you in storms. I guarantee it. You ought to be surprised, not because of the storm, but if there is none. Think it not strange concerning these fiery trials which has come upon you to try you. Don't think it strange. Amen. Because he was all the time doing that, getting his children and his people into storms. And I feel like that was part of the gate. But the storm, we know, the winds rose up, the water began to slosh, it began to come in. The Bible even says, if we're not going to read it all to save time, that it began to fill the boat. The boat began to get full. I'm thinking about that. See, that would have got my attention, because I ain't much on boats, water, stuff like that. That would have got my attention. The shower's about as deep as I like. It's deep enough, right there. Deep enough. My grandma taught me that. She instilled a water phobia in me when I was little. Amen. Remember, she's the one who taught me you can't go in the water but 2 hours after you eat. Or you'll cramp up and sink to the bottom and be like a big hog sucker. Amen. Thank you, Grandma. I hate water because of you. Amen. Amen. And it began to fill and began to swirl over. And they got fearful, the Bible says, and they run back. And this is the cool part. And I don't know how this happened, but the boat was full of water. But Jesus is in the hinder part on a pillow asleep. Officially the first waterbed in Scripture. That's what I'm thinking. If the boat's full of water, he is sleeping in water. Waterbed, baby. He's sleeping good. Because they had to wake him up. And, of course, he said, carest thou not that we perish? And he woke up. Why are you so fearful? Have no faith. Why you have no faith? I'm so fearful. And remember, he did this. Remember, I told you who he was. He's the hero of scary times. And remember, he rose up that day, and he stepped up to the bow of the boat, and he spoke to the winds, and he said, peace to the ocean, and everything went whoosh. He's the master of the scary moments. And it all come to a calm. And the Bible says that that's when they actually got frightened. They said, what manner of man is this? That the winds and the ocean, they obey him. So you think they've had their scary moment, right? You feel like they would. Well, Mark 5 jumps in. The very next verse, Mark 5. And the Bible says that they come in, chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Some of y'all know what's coming. Scariest place on earth, you think. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb. Now listen, I want you to put yourself here again. You just come through a storm, bad. And immediately you come out of the boat and there's this naked, crazy maniac crying, bleeding, wild-eyed, wild-eyed. Think of the craziest person in your life besides your mother-in-law. I just kidding. Yeah, I'm going to need help now. She's about to come out of that seat like that Gatorade. Come up here and trim me. She, you know what she'd say? She'd say, if I had a stretch arm, I'd smack you. I've heard her tell my kids that before. We was at Cracker Barrel one time, and one of them was getting mouthed in. She said, if I had a stretch arm, I'd smack you right in the face. Old granny stretch arm. Amen. But think of the most fearful thing, man. Crazy, ain't it? Coming out of the graveyard, and it's dark now. I guarantee it's dark now because it was evening before, and we done come through a storm, and it's dark now. And there's this wild maniac. Jacob, you better put your coat over your head right here. There's this wild maniac running from the tombs, naked, bleeding. Bible says he'd been cutting himself. That'd scare the fire out of me. That's one of my other phobias. I always told people I wouldn't mind getting shot because it's going to be quick, but I don't want something about somebody with a knife just scares the fire out of me. Amen. Be about like that. Danny, you remember when me and you was both younger? We was younger, and I used to chase you around this church with spiders? Yeah. How many remember how he used to scream? That's the biggest boy you ever heard scream like a little girl you ever seen in your life. But pretend like it's Danny coming out of the tombs because a spider's after him. But think about that, man. All that's going on. And the Bible says he's got this. He's not just crazy. Crazy's enough. Come on, ain't crazy enough? Ain't y'all ever been around folk that is a little bit, or just a little bit, maybe, above what you were comfortable with? And didn't that kind of like make you like want to keep a little bit of distance? I like you, but I ain't riding to town with you. I had an old boy went to school like that with old Daniel Huffman. Wolf, we called him Wolf, and he would fit the name, Wolfman, I tell you that. He was crazy in a car, but he bought a motorcycle and wanted me to ride with him. I said, there's a lot of things I'm going to do in this world, in this lifetime, but riding on a motorcycle with you ain't one of them. No, sir, because he is crazy, crazy. And that's the way I see this coming. I see this story unfold. He's got this unclean spirit. Let's go on to verse 3. And listen, think about this. He had lived among the tomb. He lived in the graveyard. And he's got chains hanging off of him, fetters hanging off of him. Why? Because they couldn't, they done proved they can't hold him. Is the fear level rising any? I mean, it should. I mean, you see a man running with chains all hanging off of him because he's done broke out of me anyway. And you're thinking like, I'm glad Jesus is my hero in scary moments. Come on. This is what's happening in this story. I can feel like all the disciples were like getting behind Jesus. The one that talks to the wind and the waves, let him talk to this cat. Amen. Amen. And they couldn't bind him with chains. Verse 4, let's read a couple more scriptures. Because they had bound him with fetters, chains, and he plucked them asunder, and the fetters, he broke them in pieces. They could no man tame him. Verse 5, right quick, and always night and day in the mountains, tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. Verse 6, but when they saw Jesus. I told you. You got a hero for scary moments. Woo! For the scariest moments in this life, there's a hero. Jesus. He saw Jesus and he ran down and worshiped him. Verse 7, And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." See, he ain't got to even worry about the demonic, the unclean. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And this is, it's not just an unclean spirit, y'all. He says, "My name is Legion." It's an army. It's an army of devils. An army. Verse 10. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. And then I'm going to stop right there just a minute, because I want you to think about that. All this is happening. All this is going on. And this is still not the scariest place. As we was talking, it's still not the scariest place. We're fixing to come to the scariest place. And it wasn't anything to do with storms, devils, maniacs, knives, killings, terrorism, diseases, the unknown. It has nothing to do with any of that. The things that man lets scare him and fear him and fret him. Jesus said, "I got this. None of this will separate you from me. There's not nothing coming. There's not nothing you can dream up. There's not nothing you can imagine. Your imagination can't run wild enough." So, this legion says, the devils begin to speak and say, you know, "Don't cast us out here." But now they were nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And the devil sought him, saying, "Send us," remember, "into the swine." That's where we send us there. We know we're coming out. He done spoke it. You coming out. Hey! Because there's a hero in the scary movie. I do it to God, all these scary movies would have the hero named Jesus walk up in them. Yeah. Amen. He says, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." In verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and all the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine." I don't expect the pigs cured for it. "And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the same sea in which they had come." And they were about, what, 2,000. Bacon prices went up on Monday. I ain't much on pig meat, but I do like me some bacon. Just saying. "And they ran down and were choked in the sea." Verse 14, "And they that fed the swine," the owners, they told it to the city, to the country, they told everybody, man, everybody that owned the pigs, and they went out to see what was done. I'm sure the whole story's been told. Yeah, and you know, everybody knowed Legion. For years, he terrorized and scared children, men, ladies. For years, well, they tried to hold him. They tried to tame him. Years. And they're telling the story. Jesus comes and, man, he's tamed him, man. The pigs is all dead, but Legion. They went to see what was done. Verse 15, "And they came to Jesus, and they see him." Listen, they see him. They see. Here's what I want you to see out of it. They see the work of Christ. Catch that, because that's important. They see the work of Christ. Have you seen the work of Christ? The great and glorious work. Maybe 2,000 devils didn't come out and go into 2,000 pigs that you saw, but you've seen the work of Christ, right? Ooh. They come and they saw him that used to be possessed. How many of y'all's got a used-to-be story? what I used to be without the work of Christ. If you ain't got a used to be story, you don't know the work of Christ. Come on, somebody. Everybody that knows the work of Christ, and I say knows the work of Christ, got a used to be story. I didn't say you was perfect. I didn't say you had it all together today even. But man, you used to be this. But because of the work of Christ, now you sitting beside him looking a little different, talking a little different, acting a little different. Hey! Everybody's looking at you a little different now. He's sitting there. Clothed. Hold on. In his right mind. Don't you wish some of your people get saved? I shouldn't have said that. In his right mind. And here it is again. This is crazy. Now they're afraid. I'm like, these disciples don't get it, do they? They wait till after the fact. I guess it just all catches up with them. And now, like, let's be scared now. You know? They're sitting there like that. And they saw all this. And it was told to them how this all happened. You know how it all happened. We know the whole work of Christ. We know the story. We know the Easter story. We know the Christmas story. We know the plan and the work of salvation, and we know the cross, and we know that it's atonement, and we know that he stood in our stead and took what we deserved, and he died for us what we deserved, and because of his blood on the altar, it was an atonement made, and God was well pleased with that atonement, and because of that, whosoever shall call upon him, they shall not be perished, but they shall have everlasting life. Man! That's what we know. That's how it befell us. I'm here this morning. I'm clothed. Some of you might wonder if I'm in my right mind, but I guarantee you, I'm a whole lot closer to my right mind than ever I've been before. I told a feller one time who'd done me wrong, and I wasn't being ugly, and I wasn't being crude, or I wasn't being bragful or boastful. I just told him he'd done me wrong. And I told him, this is a few years ago, I told him this very word. I said, you better be glad you didn't know me a few years ago. I said, you better be glad you know me as under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I didn't say it to be mean or boastful or to stir up nothing. I just wanted him to know that a few years ago, this thing would have went down a whole lot different. Amen. Yeah. So they told him all that had happened and everything that had happened concerning the swine. And we're about to come to the scariest place on earth. It wasn't the storms. It wasn't the swine. I mean, it wasn't the demons. It wasn't any of the darkness, the death, the tombs, the knives, the terrorism, the craziness, the madness. It wasn't none of that. Here comes the scariest part of the whole place. The scariest part on earth is one of the scariest passages in Scripture. Verse 17. And they begin to pray him to leave our coast. Yes. The whole town, the whole Gadarene country, seeing the work of Christ. Seeing the work of Christ. Sitting there now, the one that was this is now this, seeing the work of Christ. And because their pigs were dead, I ain't got time, but I almost wanted to stop right here and preach about pet sins. Because pet sins, that's what this all was. They had pet sins. And had it not come so close and stepped in and touched their pet sin. You know, I can tell when it's I've been pastoring long enough, I can tell when folk got pet sins. You know how I know? When they get mad at me when I challenge it. That's one of the ways I know. When I begin to challenge, they're good. They'll holler, they'll shout me down on certain things. Preach that, preacher! Woo! They get like Ric Flair, you know. Woo! Shake and jerk and bake and hunch and bunch. And when I'm preaching on things that don't bother them. But now if I go to getting around their pig, a pet pig, I go to challenging their pig, their pet, I can see it. I've learned they certain. I got certain messages, Brother Angle, that are space makers. And not that we need the space this morning, but hey, certain things I can preach on, it makes space. Killing somebody's pig. Amen. Amen. And that's the truth, ain't it? Ain't that the truth? And I could go on with that message because there's several things that I could, but I've got to come to where I'm going and get there fairly quick this morning. But they began to pray him to leave, to depart, seeing the work of Christ. I'm going to keep hammering that because that's the whole point of this message. Seeing the work of Christ. They said, no. This is a mighty thing that's went on, and this is a great thing. But no. No, we don't want you here. And in essence, it's rejecting now. Scariest place on earth. Rejecting the work of Christ. I'd like to offer that to your mind for you to let it roll around in there just a minute and you form your own conclusion this morning. Is there a scarier place on earth this morning than to reject the work of Christ? There's not a devil you should tremble over more than that. There's not a storm. There's not a dark time. There's not a crisis that you should tremble over more than rejecting, pushing back this work of Christ. I've read you the story. I've got about 5 minutes to close, which you know is impossible. I'll do my best. But now I want to read you my text this morning that goes with the story. Hebrews 10. And I'm not going to say a lot about it. I don't have to. It says this, for if we sin willfully, somebody say willfully. I want you to get that. It's not if we sin. It's not if we sin. How many know we sin? But if we sin willfully, after that we have received, listen, the knowledge of the truth, seeing the work of the cross, seeing the resurrection power. The empty tomb. Listen. Is there any scarier place? There remaineth no more sacrifice. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more. I've preached just one time. There's no plan B. There's a plan A in the gospel, and that's it. There's no plan B. There's not a plan C. There's not a above, all of the above. Oh, no, there's one plan. It's called Jesus Christ. Without him, no man sees the Father. Without him, no one goes to heaven. There's one way in, and everything else are thieves and robbers. Verse 27, he goes on, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that even despised Moses, he's giving you contrast here. He's giving you something. He that even despised the law, and we know the law is not even close to the glory of the gospel. The law was just a shadow. Not even close to the glorious work of Jesus Christ. But he says, even if they despised the law of Moses and died without mercy, under two or three witnesses, he's trying to give you a contrast, a comparison. How much sore Scariest place on earth. Scariest place. I told you should have shouted when I was talking about your hero. Scariest place on earth. How much sore punishment suppose you... Do y'all know Hebrews 10 is in the same Bible as Romans 8, don't you? I'm just checking. Suppose you shall be thought worthy who's trodden underfoot the Son of God, have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy or a common thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Verse 30, for we know him that he has said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord said, listen. And this is something I want to throw in here. The Lord said, the Lord shall judge his people. This is not any other group. No, this is God's people. I don't try to make the word say something it don't say. I don't try to over-dramify it, but I'm sure not going to try to soften what God's word intends to be serious. Amen. I'm not going to try to excuse it down or water it down or say that this was all, no, this is for people that never really believed. I don't get that out of this scripture. Amen. I've heard that teaching. I've tried to get that out of this scripture because I thought that would be a whole lot easier to swallow, God. But no matter how hard I try, I can't get that. He says, for the Lord shall judge his people. Last verse. Scariest place on earth. Scariest place on earth. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful thing. Fearful. Scariest place. Scariest place of all. Amen. I believe that this morning. I believe that with all my heart. It's in the rejection. It's in the pushing back of God's work. Seeing and knowing his plan, knowing what Christ has done, knowing what he has done, and pushing it to the side. That's what this scripture is about. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. Paul, you can even get ready to come. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. If you find yourself in the scariest place on earth, which I've done told you, I believe the scariest place on earth is now when you find yourself on the wrong side of the scariest passages. And I would ask you this morning, what side of this passage are you on? What side of this passage? I do this so humbly and so contrite. What side of this passage are you on this morning? Well, here's what I want to tell you. I don't know about you, but I've always watched some of them. When I was younger, when I had to go with my wife to see some of them things, I'd watch that, or we's at home or whatever. We'd watch whatever it was she wanted to watch. And even some of them movies that are just high intensity and stuff, they just bother me anyway. And I'm watching it sometimes, and I'm like, get out. You ever see the scenes? I mean, it's like, get out. That's what Jacob was feeling that night. He had his coat up over his head. He was thinking, get out. What I see in this verse. I say it with all sincerity, with love, genuineness. If you're on the wrong side of this passage this morning, with all the severity that I can muster up, there's no need for me to holler, there's no need for me to scream, but I'll tell you this, get out. Get out of that place. That is the scariest place on earth. To fall into the hands of the living God, who in the two chapters later they call him a consuming fire. To fall into into that. Because of sinning willfully. After that. Catch that. It's sinning willfully now. I've always said this, and I believe it with all my heart. There is a huge difference in willfully and weakness. These people in this house this morning, maybe you're just weak, and maybe you're not even completely in this verse, but I would still tell you, run to the hero of this story. Willful and weakness are not the same. You might even get deceived. Deception might get you. You might make a mistake. I understand. That's not willful. Willful carries the thought of voluntary and continuous action. Continuous. Scariest place on earth. Because it says you will fall. Not into the hands of the hero. Jesus ain't the hero in this story. It's the God of judgment. I know this is strange in our time, but there's still a God of judgment. And that's what makes the hero, Jesus, that much more spectacular. So I want to urge you this morning, if you're in the scariest place on earth, run to this altar this morning, to the arms of your hero. Because if you don't, and you leave this world, you will fall into the hands of the living God as judge. As judge.